This morning, our text for meditation is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, reading from verse 28 to 44. I'll read the text for us before we listen to God's word preached. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this: 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began rejoicing and praised God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Please pray with me. Father, we ask you to open our spiritual eyes and ears as we listen to your word being preached. We ask for your blessing of your Spirit to bring to bear the truth of your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. For centuries, Christians have memorialized this day as the first day of Holy Week. It's the day where Jesus entered Jerusalem, and he will end the week outside the city, crucified on the cross on Good Friday, and he will rise from the dead on the third day on Easter Sunday. We call today Palm Sunday because the palm branches that were strewn on the ground and waved in the air by the Jewish crowd and the disciples of Christ as they honored him as their Messiah. Today I want us to think about that Sunday, because the events of Holy Week are not just about us, but it is about Jesus. So I invite you to lay aside whatever things that are bothering you right now or distracting you, to keep in mind as we listen to the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And there are just two words that I want to mention here As we look at the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, they are recorded for us, this story, in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They have to do with how you and I will see Jesus. So just remember these two words as I go through the sermon. Commendation and condemnation. First, commendation. On Palm Sunday, we see Jesus in total control of the situation around him. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem from the north, from Galilee. He knows why he is going to Jerusalem. It is in obedience to the Father's will. In the earlier chapter of Luke's Gospel, Jesus actually says to his disciples, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit on. After flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." Jesus knew exactly what would happen to him in Jerusalem. It wasn't a miscalculation on his part. It wasn't good news for him, unlike for those of us who go to Jerusalem today on tour. It wasn't a holiday for Jesus. Palm Sunday was the beginning of the end of Jesus' mission on earth. And I want us to understand this as we look at the text. If today God told you and asked you to go to Yangon, and there you will get a bullet through your head, would you do it? It would be a grave mission, wouldn't it be, for you to sacrifice your life. That's how Jesus would have felt when the Father asked him to go to Jerusalem. He was going there to be the Savior of the world. He was going there to proclaim his Messiahship to his own people, the Jews. And there he was going to experience both a welcome but also a rejection from them as he went through the entire week, the last week of his life. But why do I say that Jesus was in control of the circumstances? It is the reason why all four Gospels mention this story to the church to learn from it. Look with me into the passage from verses 24 onwards. It tells us that Jesus entered the town of Bethage, which was close to Bethany. And there he gives specific instructions to his two disciples. They were to go and to find a young donkey that was tied to a post. And they are to untie the rope from the post and take the young animal back to Jesus. And then Jesus tells them that when the owners ask them why they are doing what they are doing, they are to answer, "The Lord has need of it." Now, the story doesn't tell us whether or not Jesus prearranged with the owners for the animal to be loaned out. It also doesn't tell us who were the two disciples sent by Jesus. You know why? You know why or not, Yao Kim? Because these details are not important to the storytelling. What's the focus here? The donkey, the disciples, or the owners? None of them. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. Jesus was preparing himself to enter the city. And the first clue we have for the focus on Jesus is found in the answer that the two disciples gave to the owners. The Lord has need of it. Jesus needed the young donkey to get into Jerusalem. How come? He could have walked into Jerusalem. He could have sat on a carriage into Jerusalem. Matthew's gospel tells us this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Jesus chose that particular means of transportation. He chose to ride on a donkey. He chose to ride it into the city. And by doing so, he chose to reveal himself to all the people in Jerusalem that he was intentionally fulfilling the Davidic prophecy, the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, which says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Riding on that donkey, Jesus was revealing himself to every Jew in that city that he was the Messiah that their prophets of old had spoken about. Let's remember that in those days, there was no television cameras. There were no smartphones. Nobody took out the phone and started filming it. There wasn't any phone. So when Jesus entered, he had to make a spectacle of himself so that everybody in the city would wake up. He was their righteous king after the royal line of David. He was their king who came in humility rather than in glory, seated on a white stallion. He was their king that was to become their savior. For he came not to give them a better life in Israel, but to give up his life for theirs, and for us too. In no uncertain terms, he was the king who deserved all commendation. And that's why I want us to remember the first point, commendation. So in order for everyone in that city to take notice of Jesus, Jesus entered this way. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, but the others around him did not. Contrast that with the disciples and the crowd. They didn't know what he was doing. In fact, they misunderstood Jesus and the prophets. Jesus had told his disciples many times what would happen to him in Jerusalem, that he would get arrested and killed, and on the third day he would rise up from the dead. That was his mission. They didn't understand what he was talking about. Would you, if you were there, would I? If there was no Good Friday yet and no Easter Sunday yet, just Palm Sunday, would you have understood what Jesus was doing? As we meditate on the Palm Sunday story, we should think about that. They just could not comprehend what Jesus was telling them. But it wasn't uncommon a thing, you know, for the disciples, even the disciples following him for a whole 3 years, to not understand what he was saying. There were many times Jesus told the disciples about himself and they just couldn't figure out what he was talking about. It wasn't because the disciples were stupid or ignorant. It was because what Jesus said about himself and the things that were set out for him by God had never happened before. It never happened before. So when he started talking like that, nobody understood what he was saying. Let me give you an example. In John 6, Jesus taught the people about himself, and he said, I am the bread of life. You remember that? It happened just after the feeding of the 5,000. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. So you've got 5,000 witnesses to the miracle. And he tells them that he is better than the manna that sustained the Israelites of old in the wilderness, because he is the bread of life. By eating him, they would never go hungry again. That's not all. Jesus goes on to say that he is the bread that came down from heaven. And at this point, the Pharisees who are there listening to him can't take it anymore. And so they remark back to him in a rebuke. They say, you didn't come from heaven. Come on. We know your daddy. He was a poor carpenter from Nazareth. What are you talking about? Then Jesus says something even more outrageous. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no life. You think the disciples understood what Jesus was saying about himself as the bread of life at that time? No. They couldn't figure out what on earth he was talking about. But here on Palm Sunday, when Jesus sat on the donkey, and when they saw him on the donkey, they knew enough, at least they knew enough, because they knew their Bible. They knew enough about the prophets who had foretold that one day Messiah would come to Jerusalem on a donkey. And that day had come. That much they knew. And they got all excited that Jesus had finally, well, he was willing to proclaim himself publicly as the Messiah of Israel. And so the crowds that saw him on that day as he went up towards the Mount of Olives and then down from it, they also got excited because they knew the prophecy. This was a deliberate visual display of who Jesus was. No apologies for being the Messiah. And so the crowd shouted, as the disciples did too, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Why did they shout that? They shouted it again and again, again and again, as a chant. It was a pageant that stirred up the whole city. By the time Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the people in Jerusalem also got excited. These words are from Psalm 118, a psalm that celebrates the Messiah, his entry into Jerusalem. And they knew it. Were they wrong in commending Jesus as their Messiah? No. Did they understand that what he would do for them as their Messiah at the end of the week? That part they did not understand. Not even the disciples at that time understood the kind of Messiah Jesus chose to be. That is why Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross on Good Friday, he would say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But now, the praises and the jubilation of the crowd following Jesus and his disciples became a chaotic throng of men, women, and children dancing and shouting out for their Messiah. Did they understand who Jesus really was? Well, partially. He was their Messiah. But he didn't come to be a deliverer from political oppression. They wanted another human King David to rule over them and to kick out the Romans. But Jesus was going to be a suffering Savior for them and for us too. Think about that. My friends, we are looking backwards 2,000 years at the cross and at the empty tomb. So we have no excuse to claim that we don't understand Jesus as the Savior King. And if He is your Savior King, then how thankful and grateful are you to Jesus today? As His disciples today, do you commend the Lord Jesus in your life with a multitude of hosannas and hallelujahs again and again? Please don't wait until you go to heaven to do that. Jesus is your Savior and King now, and He deserves your every praise now. Or He isn't. That's what true worship is all about. It comes from recognizing Jesus to be my only Savior and King. Paul tells us that because Jesus humbled Himself this way, to taste the suffering of crucifixion and the death on a cross, the Father commends Him by exalting His name as the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Philippians 2:10. Even God the Father praises the Son for being our Savior King. So I ask us this morning, how are we to commend the Lord Jesus when we think about Palm Sunday? Will you do it with a heart of praise to the Lord? Please don't tell me you are wearing a mask and you cannot praise Him. I'm talking about a heart of praise. It must come from your heart to the heart of the Lord. The disciples took off their cloaks and they laid it down on the donkey for Jesus to sit on. They laid their cloaks down onto the ground, the dirty ground, the dirt ground, to form a carpet to usher the Savior into the city. Today, will we as His disciples lay down our lives for Jesus, who laid down His life for us? Willingly, will we lay down our talents, our money, our time, our resources to proclaim Jesus owns our lives because He is our King? That's what commendation is. You know, in the same Psalm 118, it says in verses 21 to 24, I thank You that You have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's talking about Palm Sunday. Jesus fulfills what the psalmist prophecy, that salvation comes in the person of Jesus. That brings me to my second point, condemnation. Luke tells us that when Jesus reaches the Mount of Olives, which is only just outside of the city of Jerusalem, on the eastern side, He gets a bird's eye view of the walls of Jerusalem, the temple inside the city. And then something strange happens. Jesus begins to weep. This is what Jesus says. Would you, He's talking about the Jews living in Jerusalem, even you had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, and you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. What's He talking about? Palm Sunday. The word weep there to describe what Jesus was feeling in verse 41 is a very emotive word. It's not just simply crying. It doesn't mean just that. Jesus did not simply cry. It means uncontrollable sobbing. Uncontrollable sobbing. Jesus did not simply have tears roll down his cheeks as he looked at Jerusalem. He was grieved in the heart because of the rejection that he will get from that city, from his own people. It is a feeling of deep sorrow over the fact that his own people will suffer judgment and condemnation for rejecting him when he goes into that city. Would that you, even you, had known the things that make for peace. What peace? What's Jesus talking about? The Jews were expecting Jesus to bring them a peace from oppression, a peace in the land. Jesus would offer them instead peace with God and peace in the heart. Which one is more important? One only lasts a couple of years at most. The other would last forever. Which one is more important to you? Peace in the land? If today Singapore got topsy-turvy, a bomb went off, and everybody scrambles, and then our economy goes down, 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 would you still have peace of heart from Jesus? How was this peace secured? By his own sacrifice on the cross. Through his death on the cross. Palm Sunday points us to Good Friday. Here Jesus offers us the most valuable kind of peace, reconciliation with God, and restoration of our souls. Nobody else can give this kind of peace. Nobody. But they did not understand because they were spiritually blind. It doesn't take intelligence to believe in Jesus, you know. You require faith, not brains, faith. Childlike faith because you are trusting in a person. He is the only God incarnate. The disciples believed in Jesus. They did not fully understand him until much later. The disciples believed in Jesus even when they could not fully understand what he was or who he was. Only later at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit filled them, gave them spiritual understanding, then they understood everything about Jesus. We understand who Jesus is today because of the Holy Spirit in us. And for that, we need to thank God. Is there a penalty for rejecting Jesus? Yes. Palm Sunday tells us this. Jesus cried for the people in that city. He cried for the Jewish leaders who would condemn him to death. He cried for Pilate and the Romans who would crucify him at Calvary. He cried for the people, the same folks who were praising him now, who would later in 5 days, just 5 days' time, they would curse him and say, "Crucify him." Just now when we were singing the songs, "Hosanna, Hosanna," I thought about that. How would you feel if you were Jesus and you were receiving praises from people? "Hosanna, save us, save us." That's what Hosanna means. And in 5 days' time, they curse you, crucify him. He cried for his people because God would not let them off the hook for rejecting his only son. There is a consequence, my friends. 40 years later, what Jesus predicted of that city happened. The history books record it. In 70 AD, the Romans under General Titus laid siege of Jerusalem. They built a wall around the whole city. See, the Romans were tactical fighters. You know, they didn't just charge in and then it became a bloody warfare. They lay siege and they literally built a wall around the whole city to starve the population inside for 3 long years. They could have taken the city much earlier, but they did this to make Jerusalem an example and a warning to all who dared rebel against Rome. And then, when they attacked the city, they sacked it, burned it to the ground. Josephus, the historian, tells us that they killed every man, woman, and child. And the population at that time was estimated to be 70,000, you know. 70,000 people butchered. And they were half-starving anyway. They were not able to fight. All the priests and the Jewish fighters, they crucified on the road, all along the way. Josephus says he goes down miles, you know. And it is an irony, isn't it? The people standing on Good Friday and cursing Jesus and challenging him, come down from that cross. These same people would be strung up on the cross 40 years later. Is there a consequence for rejecting the Messiah? Yes. All the walls of the city were torn down. Only one part of the outer wall, known as the Western Wall, was kept as proof that there was a beautiful city here before 70 AD. If you go to Jerusalem today, that wall is still there. The part of that wall. It is called the Wailing Wall. It is the place today where the Jews stand in front of it and pray to God, because they don't have a temple anymore. The temple is gone. That wall is a reminder of the condemnation, that it is a consequence for those who reject the Lord Jesus as Messiah. And that is the reason why we need to preach the gospel to every man. Without believing in Jesus as Savior and King, you are already condemned. It's about Jesus. It's about people making choices about Jesus. Let me conclude. Palm Sunday is about Jesus as the Savior King. It's not about the donkey, and it's not about palm branches. It's not about how much you need to understand about Jesus or even about his teaching. It's about whether you will choose to believe in him as your King and Savior or reject him in your life now. Listen to the words of the Apostle John. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The word of God is reflecting on us today. We are that people who believe. It is a privilege for every child of God to believe in Jesus. Dear friends, let us always find any and every excuse to simply praise and adore Jesus as our Savior and King, King of our lives. Palm Sunday shows us that Jesus is the promised Savior King. Is he not worthy of all your daily praises and thanks? Not just on Sunday, but every day. The moment you wake up, you open your eyes, and your brain starts to work, you should be thinking about Jesus. How wonderful that we have been offered this grace. Would you pray with me? Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Help us, O Lord, as we think about that day where you entered into Jerusalem, where even those who did not fully understood enough to acknowledge you as Messiah, as the anointed one, as the Savior. Today, O Lord, we understand we are without excuse because of the Gospels. But yet, Lord, the same choice is still given to us. To lift you high as our Savior King, or to forget about it and simply reject you. There is no middle ground. Lord, we humble ourselves before you as we think about Palm Sunday. And again, we want to express from our hearts a response of surrender, a response of celebration, because we ask you humbly to come into our lives and to be that Savior King. Forgive us, O Lord, for sometimes we forget that our lives actually are yours, to do as you please, not the other way around. We pray that, Lord, you will continue to bless us as we go through the rest of this service. And, Lord, as we think about how we can serve you, and even as we go through the rest of Holy Week, may, Lord, your Spirit guide and teach us. In Jesus' name, Amen.